please listen carefully.
Hello, world. Welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Christy Jansen.
And I'm Summers McKay. And today is March 4th, 2020.
We are a part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded, positive news stories every day in order to change the tenor of the news media and the direction of your day to one focused on solutions.
Every weekday, we publish 10 stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox through our social channels. And now, on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we will be sharing these solutions in a commute-worthy podcast.
And by subscribing, listening to, reading, and sharing The Optimist Daily, you are on the front lines of action-oriented steps towards solving our world's biggest problems. First you, then 100,000, and then 100 million people focused on solutions will change the world for good.
All right, so here are today's top solutions. Three ways to improve immunity this flu season. It's virtually impossible to look at the news without seeing the coronavirus headlines everywhere. While this global disease demands an immediate international medical response, it also demands that we remain rational and smart about how we respond in the face of communicable diseases. This week, we are sharing three solutions from an infectious disease specialist to improve your immune system and stay healthy without panicking. Coronavirus is dominating the news, but disease specialist Sandra Kesh, MD, reminds us that there have been about 16,000 flu-related deaths in this season alone. So it's always a good idea to support your immune system no matter the year, especially in the winter months. Here are three ways to stay healthier this flu season. 1. Reduce stress. Stress causes many different types of mental and physical disruptions within the body. High stress levels lead to cortisol levels that aren't within their normal range, which can physically disrupt the body's healing properties. Check out tips on theoptimistdaily.com on recharging when you feel stretched too thin to address some of the biggest stressors in your life. 2, maintain a healthy lifestyle. Healthy living is a marathon, not a sprint. We have to remember that. Mm-hmm. You can chug orange juice, but a regularly maintained healthy lifestyle is going to be more effective in the long run. Getting plenty of sleep, exercise, and eating a balanced diet with a lot of green things will do wonders for your immune strength. 3, practice balance with sanitizing. Exposure to some germs is good for your immune system. Regularly washing your hands and disinfecting communal surfaces like doorknobs and phones is good, but too much can harm more than it helps. Actually, washing your hands too much can cause dry, cracked skin and hands that are actually more prone to catching diseases. Wash up before meals and after the restroom or touching something icky, and you should be all set. Getting sick is scary, but taking simple daily precautions to boost your immune systems and promote hygiene should be enough to keep you healthy most of the time. Everyone catches a bug once in a while, but maintaining a balanced, healthy lifestyle this flu season is the best thing you can do for your body and peace of mind.
That's really good recommendations, and I don't know about you, but my hands have been super chapped lately because I've been washing them like crazy.
That's interesting to read.
All right, our second solution today, the headline is Judge Tosses Oil and Gas Leases on Almost 1 Million Acres of Public Land. For everyone who cares about our public lands, we have good news. A federal judge banned oil and gas leases on nearly 1 million acres of public lands that are important habitat for the greater sage grouse, the largest type of grouse, which is a bird, in the United States. The ruling goes against a White House policy that shortened the period for public comment and protest on oil and gas leases from 30 days to only 10. This change was contested through a lawsuit, which eventually led to the U.S. Chief Magistrate Judge Ronald Bush tossing out around $150 million worth of leases that had been issued under the new policy, while also restoring the full 30-day comment period. In his decision, Bush argued that the Bureau of Land Management could not only consider the economic needs of the fossil fuel industries at the expense of all other concerns. The sage grouse, whose numbers have fallen from around 16 million to fewer than 500,000 because of disease and overdevelopment, reflects the overall health of the western sagebrush habitat and also houses hundreds of other species. In other words, it's essential we preserve these lands from the prying hands of the oil and gas industry.
I think that that's really interesting that we cannot ever make a decision based on just one area of input.
Right.
And you can't just protect one industry at the expense of others. And you can't also just protect one area at the expense of economics.
It kind of goes along with the movement towards stakeholder capitalism instead of shareholder primacy. Mm-hmm. You can't just put the economic interests of one industry at the forefront over all the other interests.
Right. Today's next solution is something very close to my heart. Alphabet launches new project to protect our oceans. Alphabet, Google's parent company, is famous for its ambitious projects, but its latest mission might be the biggest of all, protecting the sea and its aquatic inhabitants. The new project, which is called Tidal, is starting with a camera system that can help fish farmers monitor and, hopefully, better understand every living creature inside their pens. Why start here? According to Neil Dave, the general manager for Tidal, fish have a low carbon footprint relative to other sources of animal protein, and they play a critical role in feeding 3 billion people today. So helping fish farmers could prove critical for both humanity and for the health of the ocean. Tidal's solution is underwater cameras that, paired with some computer vision, are able to detect subtle and not so subtle fish behaviors, like eating. That level of information, Dave explained, can help farmers make smarter and more environmentally friendly decisions, like how much food to put into the pens, which they hope can reduce both costs and pollution. According to the Financial Times, Tidal is working with farms based in Europe and Asia to track fish species, including salmon and yellowtail. Otherwise, we know little about the company's testing and how closely the technology is to being polished and market-ready product. Tidal has specified, however, that their plans will not stop at fish farming as they aim to learn as much as possible about the ocean in order to develop technology and new solutions in order to protect it. We'll certainly be keeping an eye on Tidal's progress in the coming years.
That's really interesting. And, you know, gotta love that fish, right?
Keep swimming.
Right. All right, our next solution. When it comes to coding, language skills could be more important than math. If you're intimidated by the concept of coding, you're not alone. The word itself brings up images of tech geniuses and math whizzes. However, new research published in Nature's Scientific Reports has found an unexpected key factor in coding success, the ability to learn new languages. The researchers from the University of Washington followed 36 adults as they learned Python and assessed critical factors such as attention to problem solving, memory, numerical skills, and resting state brain activity. They found that above all, strong language abilities as well as good working memory and reasoning abilities created the best coders. This could create a big shift in the way coding classes are approached. At the university level, coding classes are mostly taught in computer science or engineering departments, often with math and engineering prerequisites. Approaching coding languages with the same teaching techniques as linguistic courses, such as French or Chinese, could be a functional solution for teaching more effectively and encouraging coding across more diverse academic disciplines.
Thank you, Christy.
And another language story today.
Exactly. In another language story today to wrap up in today's final top solution from the Optimist Daily. Why we need to skip the jargon when discussing climate change. When it comes to climate change, there is a plethora of interchangeable jargon, such as net zero and circular, being used to describe and explain what's going on. And according to a new study out of Ohio State University, all this jargon could be a stumbling block for fostering interest and care about climate change. For the study, 650 people read paragraphs about self-driving cars, surgical robots, and 3D bioprinting online. Half of them read paragraphs filled with cringeworthy phrases like AI integration, while the other half read phrases translated into plain English, make that programming. After they were finished, those subjected to obscure words said they felt less interested in science, even when those words were clearly defined. Hillary Shulman, the lead author of the study, says avoiding jargon matters for anyone who wants to get their message to a broad audience. Although the study wasn't about climate change itself, it's highly applicable. Obscure words in articles about rising sea levels and supercharged weather could discourage people from wanting to learn more about planetary crisis. The solution is to put jargon and buzzwords into simple language that anyone can understand. And it takes some effort, of course. A good example is Upgoer 5, a diagram by Randall Monroe, the cartoonist behind the website XKCD. It explains how a rocket works using only 1,000 of the most common words in the English language. Simplifying lingo related to climate change requires a similar process. Take a cold clinical word like biodiversity and turn it into a more evocative phrase like wildlife. A real head-scratcher like climate mitigation becomes reducing emissions. Forget dumbing down. Using more common language is actually smartening up, said Susan Joy Hassel, director of the nonprofit science outreach group Climate Communication in North Carolina, who coaches scientists and journalists to write and speak more conversationally. The only thing that's dumb, Hassel said, is speaking to people in languages they don't understand.
Amen. All right. Well, thank you for listening to the Optimist Daily Update. Please consider becoming an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com for just $5 a month. Support reader-funded independent journalism. Be a part of the solution, changing consciousness and addressing our world's biggest challenges with a problem-solving mindset.